Sky Blue Stories is recorded at the Hills Podcast Studio at the Bella Vista Hotel.
Arrow Sports sponsors Sky Blue Stories, and if you have found it hard or it's been hard to find your perfect sports jerseys, never mind. Head to www.arrowsport.com.au. From football to basketball, netball to rugby, Arrow Sport has you covered. Right now on Instagram, catch their latest designs and prototypes at @arrow_sportau.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, excited.
Thank you so much. And thanks for saying I'm your favorite player.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much for having me. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
No problem, guys. Thank you for having us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. Thank you. Thank you for having me on here.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thank you for having me on. Hey, guys. How are you going?
No problems at all, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. It's a nice introduction.
No problem. Thanks so much for having me on, guys.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, guys.
A good laugh, a good chat. So I enjoyed it. Thanks, boys.
After another incredibly disappointing, incredibly frustrating and incredulously lackluster performance, despite Sydney FC having a glut of possession, it now means the Sky Blues are six Sydney derbies without a victory. Sky Blue Stories is back to dissect every why the fuck isn't Anthony Caceres starting, every does no one in this team understand what this game means to our club, and every claim of Corica out by you, the fans, and one of our very own Sean Maloney. Joined tonight by that man, you're joined by myself, Jonathan Finger, and James Pierce Senton, the crew, all back together.
I'm Hi. Here. Sean in
Hey guys.
The studio.
How's it going?
I'm back.
You are back?
Yeah.
It's going down, funky town. It's not so funky.
Gosh, it was a disappointing Monday morning, let alone the train ride home on Saturday evening.
What was the name?
Well, that's for our Patreons. Look, are we going to go straight into it?
Do you let's mix it up a bit this week. Yes. I think it's something that everyone wants to hear about. So rather than pussyfooting around like we normally do with our socials and everything, we'll still do a little bit of pussyfooting because, you know, a little bit's good. Yeah. We'll do that a bit later. But I thought we'd go straight into talking about Saturday night, gents, and the 3-2 loss at Bankwest Stadium. Who would like to start us off?
I got to gather my thoughts.
James, how did you experience, that was your first derby at Bankwest, I think?
First derby at Bankwest, yeah. I've been at Bankwest before, obviously. But yeah, first derby there.
20,000 odd.
Good atmosphere, I thought. I was pleased with it. Cove made a great sound. Cove kept it up for the whole game.
Brilliant. Absolutely bloody brilliant.
Very much,
kept most of their shirts on, which is something that we can't say for the other side of the stadium. you know, I know they won, but at least our guys
got a bit of class about
weather
them.
Patterns.
Yeah.
Dignity. A bit of dignity.
Which I know is on your mind currently, Sean. People wearing shorts in winter.
Just don't get it.
Bit of dignity. As we said, guys, six games now. We've lost three, drawn three of the last six games. There's one more derby this season. I'll start at the end and then we'll come back to the beginning. I think we normally sort of do that, but I don't know. I was sitting with you guys, and I think I just felt despondent. I just was not very responsive to anything that anyone was trying to say to me because I think I was slightly filled with rage at how easily we were picked apart from a game plan point of view. We could see because we were sitting quite high in the stand. I think you could see what was happening from the first 5-10 minutes, guys, and it was just so infuriating to see it unfold before your eyes.
On paper, by far the superior team. I don't want to give them too much credit, but they played a lot smarter and they played to their strengths, something that I'll get further into a little bit later on.
74% possession, was it, guys?
Yes, like good 73, solid 70-30%, something ridiculous. I've gone through one coaching badge with the C license, and one thing they talked about over those several hours and days is effective possession. What's the point in having it if you're not going to be effective with it and efficient with it?
Let's go through.
I'd love for you to be in a room with Jose Mourinho.
Ooh,
I'd love that because that's as another team that I support is going through that exact conversation right now.
Yeah, tough times at Tottenham.
Yeah, I don't want to turn this into the Tottenham Hotspur podcast, but it's a similar thing that we're going through as a club at Tottenham is that, you know, 30% possession in games, playing counter-attacking football. Actually, we've got the team to have positive possession, to dominate games, and to control the narrative of the game as well. And Sean bringing that up.
Controlling the narrative.
Right, has, well, the narrative of the game, right, has just kind of triggered that. It's a similar conversation that's going on in another aspect of my footballing fandom.
We've just lost 90% of our listeners because you mentioned Tottenham.
Or we kept Arsenal fans because how shit we are.
We started off the first 10-odd minutes of the game with, by far and large, more possession, far better field position. We had ABJ fire off a shot that went across the goal. So I'm like, okay, all right, things that maybe starting to build here. But like you said, they had a bit of a tactic or a big tactic of sitting deep, absorbing the pressure.
Compact.
And just compact. Just allow us to have the ball. Yeah, knock it
really
about.
Narrow.
FC. Just
you could
knock
see.
It about.
You could see Grant and King
oodles
out
of
on
space.
The out on the flanks completely by themselves because our tactics were so obvious. Mm. They were obvious to three plonkers that do a podcast about Sydney FC sitting up the back of the stadium. You could physically
like
see.
To be fair, though, Wanderers' tactics were so obvious too. Because their counter was just deadly.
But a certain somebody didn't do a certain thing to counter that tactic.
There was no change. There was no change. We would whip balls in. They would have eight blokes in the box and they'd defend them. Mm. That was our tactic.
And their strength they play to was play it wide, use that width on the counter, James, like you said. Mm. Use the speed
cut
of
through
Kamau.
The middle.
Well, use the speed and width of Kamau, Troisi to a lesser degree.
And it worked.
Duke.
We'll talk about the goals in a second that the Wanderers scored in the first half, but I think I said to you guys as well on the night, even when we looked up and we looked to play forward and through the middle, it would go to Bobo every fucking time.
Wow.
Every time. Costa, meanwhile, is on the shoulder of
who
the last defender.
Speed. He
right?
still has pace.
Used to be the fastest bloke in the league, and we didn't find – I don't think we found him once.
No, and his first touch the last couple of weeks has been brilliant as well. He's been getting a couple of balls shot over the top to him, deft first touch, controls it.
But it would go to Bobo.
Yeah.
On halfway. Mm. Anyway, first goal was quite good. again, I don't want to give them too much credit. Yep. Sure,
their first two goals.
Yeah, Bruce Kamau had a lovely... involvement. Well, actually, he had a one touch. It was actually Ziggy Gordon that burst down the right-hand side and gave the ball to Bernie Abini, I think it was, to give to Kamau. And just a really good finish.
Yep.
Really good finish from Kamau.
And then they did the 1-2 punch within a matter of a handful of minutes. If
four
that.
Or five, yeah.
Was it Duke who got the second?
God, wasn't it quiet up in the stands? Yep. After that,
I still felt okay. Like,
without being arrogant or cocky, I still felt like these goals were happening within the first 15 odd minutes. So I'm like, okay, there's still 75 odd minutes in this game, and it's a derby, anything can happen. But
I still felt okay.
Yeah. And then I went up, then it was halftime, nothing had changed, no subs at halftime. Okay, I went up to the bathroom, went to the Dunny, get a few more beers.
Mm.
And then there's cheers, and I felt like
that's
I needed
right.
to
sit. That's right, we scored when you were gone.
Yeah, I felt like I needed to sit down and do a number two in order to kind of bring about some big luck.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Hang on.
Detailed.
Your shits cause
graphic.
You luck in your life?
Yep, sometimes, yeah.
Okay, what good things have gone right for you after you've done
a few gold nuggets?
Dr. Juice.
Past a stone, I think it might have been. Check my stool. Anyway, that's for the Patreon.
Yeah, good.
OnlyFans. Wilco's goal.
Oh.
Captain's little knock there.
Can we talk about Milos Ninkovic's ridiculous back heel first?
Yes.
Can we just talk about Milos
Ninkovic for an hour?
Ridiculous skill first. The whole game he was on.
Yeah, he was.
And I know this is a point we're going to get to later about players perhaps not giving the impression that they understand the magnitude of the game for some of the fandom. But he got a little bit aggro at some point, right?
He was dragging us into the game.
Well, he was, almost but what I'm saying is he fired up. I don't remember the incident specifically, but I remember him firing up and, you know, getting amongst it.
It's going to be cranky in his old age.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And they
Who
were all over
us. Who does
that
remind you of, cranky in their old age?
Alex Bross?
Yep. Go to the next segment.
Sean, you're right. Let's talk about Wilco's goal. Pretty good delivery from Alex Baumjohan from the corner. And Wilco's become a bit of a goal scorer.
Sorry, before the goal.
Oh, yes.
Alex Baumjohan, great delivery. Great cut-through passes down through the lines all game. Good game by him.
Fell over a bit, but...
He does that. It's you got to accept that, right?
He's come from Europe. He's trying to look for a penalty.
Jeez, I feel like he's from South America sometimes, right? Yeah. It's just obscene. But he had a couple of really great passes as well. Look, solid game from him. But yeah, to set up Wilco's goal.
It was a good corner. We don't. Someone actually commented. One of your good friends, Hayden, I believe, commented that how often he said, "How often do we score from corners?" And this was before the goal. And I said, "I think we might have got one this year." And yeah, lo and behold, that's how we score.
Thanks, Dossie.
Our goal to bring us back to 2-1. The period in between that goal and the next one, again, I think we started to just completely dominate possession.
Yep.
However, again, with the view that we had, guys. It would go from Joel King to Luke Bratton to Milos Ninkovic. Then it would go back to Luke Bratton. Then it would go to Joel King.
Who was playing centre-back.
Then it would go Luke back Bratton. To Luke Bratton. It was so side-to-side.
It's very, very... It's incredibly lateral. And the defence, they're compact and they don't mind a shift left and right. They're like, okay, you can have possession, but we were doing fuck all with it.
They had nine behind the ball.
And if we do cross it in, they've got nine behind the ball. They can, you know, knock that header away and so on.
And release Kamau up front if they get the ball, which is of his speed, bang, which happened a couple of times.
Yeah,
The game was crying out, absolutely crying out for a change, for a bit of pace, for something different. You got Bobo on there that played at that stage, 230 minutes in a week.
Yeah, he played almost a full game against Victory earlier in the week.
And the Mariners,
on the Saturday. Yeah, fuck me dead.
It was just crying out for a change. And to be fair to Bimby, he was preparing the subs. It went for a corner, the subs lined up, and we conceded.
And how about the bloke who scored the goal? When he made the signing... Oh, a bit over like a week or so ago.
I've got no time for
Even Wanderers fans and I saw on Twitter were crying out, going, why the hell would we sign another striker? We've got, we're flush with them. We've been struggling with, not conceding and defending whatnot. One, we get a defender. And then Georgeski went during the week as well in the past 7 days. And it was just lined up for that
unmarked,
that snake.
Smallest striker in the world.
Yeah, that snake has been at, three clubs in a year and a half?
Yeah, I've lost all respect for Scott McDonald, to be honest. And then...
Lost?
Yeah, I used to quite like him. Thought he was a decent player, but maybe he still is. But as a bloke, Jesus Christ. Paolo Retre's defence of that goal was interesting.
Non-existent.
Gents, what did you think of his work at the back post?
Pathetic.
Interesting.
I don't like the fact you're laughing.
I just
because it was comical.
Yeah, look, the word interesting took me by surprise. It's not specifically in the run sheet, so...
literally ducked under the ball.
Look, I thought our midfield in general, rather than single out Paolo Retre, I thought our midfield in general was pretty lackluster on the night.
Brats gave the ball away for the first two goals.
Yeah, and ad nauseum thereafter, right? Yeah. Brats, we know, is a quality player... could probably secure himself a spot in the Socceroos squad. Last couple of weeks, I just think he's probably tired. I feel like he's played...
Possibly.
With the exception Possibly. Of his yellow card suspension.
Mm-hmm. No, which he now has.
Good.
Yes.
But there was a game or two where he was injured or rested or something.
I can't recall if he missed one, but yeah.
Yeah, he's basically played every minute. Yeah.
Tired
right?
from shouldering the team.
Yeah.
Oh, probably.
But he and Retre last night just weren't weren't on.
No.
And you could kind of see it in the adjustment of our tactics after we conceded the third was Corica basically made the decision to bypass the midfield.
Yeah.
right?
Yep, and
shoot it long, you know, to Bobo, to the wingers. Don't worry about the mid. They'll act as a back five, essentially.
100% right. 100% right, James. And the subs finally came after that goal. 75 minutes in, if you don't mind.
Which is probably Sean's favourite time.
It works on FIFA when you're playing it, but not in real life.
No, you sort of need to be a bit more proactive, look, don't you, Sean?
When you're 2-1 up and you've gotten that goal, maybe some subs shortly after it to build that momentum and piggyback on top of it might have been. You've got five subs, start to roll them in gradually.
I think it's more when you witness your team passing the ball side to side for 15 minutes straight.
But that's obviously the instruction.
And
the
relying instruction. On a 19-year-old left back to cross it in because no one else would do fuck all.
And thank God for
maybe
Joel
it's time to drag some of them and put something different on.
Thank God for Joel King because he's the only person that ran back and could keep up with some of their strikers at some point, right? The legs on that kid, very impressed. Mm. He's not always the most technically adept player, but he's got a bloody heart on him.
He sure does. Right? He certainly does. Trent Bahaja and Anthony Caceres came on, gents, and it wasn't long before Trent made an impact.
Mm.
Oh, he's runs forward. He almost got a pen going his way with the shouldering, hipping off the ball.
We did get the pen.
Oh, sorry. Yes, he did. Sorry. Yeah, and then it goes up to VAR, and then it gets handed to Bobo.
And why, I ask, because I haven't seen the footage because we were all at the game, why did that go to VAR?
You think it was Stonewall all day, wasn't it?
Why did it go to VAR? I've been too pissed off.
I think we probably need to listen to the commentary.
So I haven't gone back. It was a fucking penalty. 100 times out of 100. Mm. So instead of being able to line up and simply put the goal in the back of the net, make it 3-2, we have to wait 4 minutes, and the bloke doesn't overturn it anyway. Guess what? Because it was a fucking penalty. Mm. Why does VAR exist?
I know. They're supposed to be there for clear and obvious things, and that wasn't clear enough. It was clear and the obvious in that the ref got it right the first time.
So, like I said, no excuse for a missed penalty. You have to score a penalty,
He bloody put it in row Z.
But
it's a tied
boat. The mental process that this bloke's had to go through after 270 minutes as a 36-year-old in a week, you sort of feel a bit for him, right?
Mm. I did see him having a wine at Iceberg's a couple of days before.
How dare he?
Right?
How dare he enjoy the sights? It was an absolutely shocking Roberto Baggio-esque penalty.
I can't begrudge Bobo a miss.
No, look, wouldn't have made a difference. Probably,
could
but
have drawn the game.
You know,
could have drawn the game.
Momentum was there, and that was it.
Yeah, look, I like I said, I can't begrudge Bobo missing a penalty. The amount he's done for this club.
Yeah, he scored 8 goals in 13 appearances this season.
And his last goal, I think it was in this game, is taking him up to 50 career goals for Sydney FC.
Let's talk about that one, James and Anthony Caceres' impact off the bench.
Oh, God. Where do I get my badge, right? My Anthony Caceres fan club hoodie. You know what? The thing that I never remember until I actually see games is Alex Bross telling us about a year ago that he's the one that hates Western Sydney the most since.
And we were Alex taken aback a bit by that answer.
Right?
Because he's quite quiet and just goes about his business pretty humbly.
Did you see him, as soon as he came on, running, charging in, giving a shit? He had this energy and this hunger about him. And to be quite honest, the rest of the squad was a little bit tired by then.
Mm.
But he looked like he cared more than most of the rest of the squad the past kind of 70-odd minutes.
He was looking to create. The game was – absolutely. Well, our game was crying out for that, albeit maybe at the start of the game, but certainly – 10, 15 minutes before he eventually came on, was crying out for an Anthony Caceres just to break the game open and just be looking for an X factor, because there was a period in time there I was like, I just can't see where the goals are going to come from.
That's right. And he put it on a plate for Bobo to tap home.
So given that ABJ, and look, we'll get onto this when we dissect some of the tactics a little bit more and decisions and blah, 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 but given that ABJ started and had a relatively decent start to the game, Ninko was just gorgeous and on fire. Would you have put where would you put Anthony? In the middle?
Yes.
In the
middle? Next door to Braddon every day. Braddon will naturally hold.
But it's not his best position.
No. But he's a much better player than Paolo Retro.
Yeah, absolutely. No. Joke aside, absolutely. He hit a nail on the head, Jono.
He is.
And the thing with Anthony, like Callum, is that they look to play forward.
Yeah, yes.
Braddon will naturally hold and Anthony will look to play forward like Callum looks to play forward.
And I think Braddon prefers to be holding. Mm. I don't think Braddon...
He's a box-to-box. He's a ball-winning midfielder.
Yeah, and he's not the fastest, so he doesn't really make runs up the guard.
It's not his game either.
That's right. Disrupt, so, disturb, play, receive, and then look to distribute.
He is a brick wall.
Yeah.
You know, but he put it on an absolute plate for Bobo to make it 3-2 with about 3 minutes left of... stoppage time.
Yeah, but then a minute later. Yeah, he wasn't done then.
He wasn't done.
A minute later, curls from just inside the box.
I asked Rowdy if it was inside or outside.
Yeah, no, that's Rowdy's favourite game.
and hits the post. Oh, and then it came off and somebody tried to get the ricochet back in and got...
It made me jump out of my seat. Yep. And for the goal that Bobo scored, I didn't move because I just was still pissed off.
I remember.
With what had unfolded, I'm like, eh.
Yeah. Hey, Sean was watching the Roosters game.
Yeah. But that did make me get up and get excited. And I think that's what Anthony Caceres does. He excites people.
He's brilliant to watch. He had some great dribbles. He had a very impactful kind of 25 minutes when you take into account stoppage time.
He's one of the few blokes in the team that is actually ready and willing and able to take on a player one-on-one. Something I don't see Costa do enough. Costa will get the ball run onto it and hold it up.
I'm stonewalled in front of someone.
Which is fine because sometimes there's just no one to play. Yeah, absolutely. But other times I'm like, take a player on, especially when you're in your final third. If you're going to lose the ball, lose it down there near their goal.
But it's not only that. He takes the game by the scruff of the neck. And I don't even think Ninkovic does that, right? Ninkovic,
not as much as he used to.
No, Ninkovic will... work the game around and bring other players in or create, but he doesn't take the game by the scruff of the neck and go... I mean, he did kind of once at Central Coast, but it's fewer and far between now. But
it's flashes Caceres, of brilliance now.
But that Caceres-type player that just comes in and just grabs it and goes, screw it. Yeah. I'm going for a run. I'm going to work myself into the box and I'm going to hit a curler into the back of the net. And shit, I hit the post. But at least I bloody did it.
What's the old, good, if you want to win a raffle, you've got to buy a ticket. How does it go? I butchered
that. I think that's right.
Yeah.
You've got to buy a ticket in the raffle.
Something like that. So, but Ninko's more about these days bringing other players into the game rather than himself. Yeah, so, AC for me all day.
So it ends 3-2. Exceptionally disappointing. I think from my perspective, and Sean, I know I'm going to give you the mic in a sec and talk us through some of your frustrations, but from my perspective, it's almost embarrassing to lose to a side that is so bang average. Like,
Just as embarrassing to draw with a side that's so bang average.
And they have been for years. They're a fucking laughing stock. Like, in the league.
They've halved their membership.
They're just not a good football team, right? Melbourne Victory put 5 past them the week before.
But that's
Melbourne Victory, and they are the worst A-League team in history.
Look, that's something, and this might segue into my rant, but...
We can't put 3.
Less than a week before that, or a week before that...
You can't put more than 1 past Victory.
Wanderers put 4 on them. Melbourne Victory, we struggled to put 1 or more than 1. Victory put 5 and we struggled to get 2. My head just is imploding.
We should have dominated Victory. We were at Cogra, we were at our home ground. It was a lovely night.
It was a lovely night.
I enjoyed the company. That was a highlight.
Temperate, I meant.
Does the fact that it was our third game in 7 days...
No, it shouldn't matter. They're professional athletes. There's enough depth in the squad, but Corica doesn't rotate.
Yeah, we don't rotate, right? We've got Bahaja, we've got Ward, we've got...
You said we would, though.
Even Geordie.
We haven't.
Well, the Caceres and ABJ have been the rotation.
Minimal.
Ninko was the rotation.
Minimal. Yeah.
Right?
No, no, but I'm saying that's the rotation. It's three players. Your midfield's not rotated. Oh, no, Retre was rotated. For one of them, three.
You know, and he got some really strong MPL boys. I know Kaczarski's must be injured at the moment, but, you know, you got Benny Wallen in there, you got Callum Talbot,
Van der Sarg,
Paddy Asbach. You know, there's depth in the squad.
Would you rather lose a game playing three or four youth players against a Melbourne Victory?
No, it's...
On a Tuesday night.
At Cogra, yeah. Then a derby on a Saturday.
Maybe not four, but yeah.
You know
there's
what I
mean. There's definitely room for it. And we're falling back into that. I've got 11 players and they're the ones I trust and that's who's going to play. Like, whereas every other team in the league has been rotating. They've been bringing kids on. They've been starting kids every single game. And the pace at which they've been playing those games has been astronomical compared to the pace that we play our games. And because those teams
have been doing that early in the season, by now those guys are starting, not seasoned veterans, but they're no longer rookies and they've got that experience behind them.
So, Sean, you're quite vocal on the social medias on the weekend. I think you agreed with quite a few people, actually. A lot of emotions.
I started something.
A lot of emotions.
Yep.
I don't think you started. I think there's been noise for a bit. I might not necessarily agree with that noise. But there has been... your frustrations have been for a long time. But talk us through, I guess, where your head was at on the weekend in regards to that performance and the season so far.
I was on the train home. There was a post. I said, Corica out, useless, something along those lines. Got quite a few likes, not going to lie. And it started off over the next 24 hours. I had a nice, like, banter chat and forth back with several SE, you know, members, fans, etc., who we more or less agreed with each other and about the tactics that night and tactics recently.
So justify. Why has it come to this?
Maybe should have chosen my words a little bit more cleverly, but the sentiment and the idea behind it, I've been thinking and feeling since going into the 2019 Christmas New Year period. I felt like we've been pretty mediocre since pretty much almost since we started this pod, with some strong games here and there. But if you look at our season this year, I don't think we've had a complete or close to it 90-minute performance, maybe other than the two Leichhardt games recently with Melbourne City and Adelaide. But I felt we've been pretty average so far. Yes, we were second on the table before Saturday night, but saying that, I feel it's pretty apathetic and, you know, succumbing to mediocrity.
So are you sort of saying, because a lot of people would say you're a madman because we actually won the comp in 1920.
Thanks to Arnie.
And we won the comp the year before. But how long can Arnie ball, you know, and his mark stay on the team?
Well, I don't think we are playing Arnie ball, are we?
I don't think we are.
I think other teams.
So are you saying you would rather play prettier football than
winning football?
Being where we are.
But we're not really winning, are we?
We're not.
We're third.
So we're not playing overly attractive football and we're not consistently winning and taking 3 points away more weeks than not.
I think we've drawn more than
I really feel like we've been in a bit of a funk. I feel like we've kind of plateaued, but also I feel like other teams have evolved in terms of their coaching, their rotation, their not retention, their recruitment of players. And, you know, because we've been that benchmark over the last few seasons, they found us out.
Look, there's a point
and
where
we haven't changed.
There's a point where style over substance, I think, needs to take a back seat. And we need to actually look at how other teams set up, right? A constantly trotted out line that you hear most coaches say is, we're not worried about other teams, we're just worried about ourselves. No, you need to worry about other teams. Like, because people have worked us out.
Well, you play other teams.
People have worked us out. And I know it might just be a line, you know, we don't worry about what other teams are doing. But it's quite clear and obvious that we're not.
Well, Carl,
we just do whatever we want to do and we don't adjust.
Well, Corica trots out the same formation with 90% the same starting 11 with the same tactics week in, week out, and it's ridiculously predictable and it's not doing us any help in getting a three-peat and being at the pointy end at the top of the table in the pointy end of the season. You look at Wanderers, what they did on Saturday night, they played to their strengths And they did watch us, and, you know, they are a team who would have done a little bit of video and homework during the week and gone, okay, this is how we can beat Sydney FC, by, you know, being compact in defence and dropping in deep and absorbing the pressure and then looking to get us on the counter. That's smart football. I don't like them, but they play to their strengths. Yeah. And if you're
they play to our weaknesses
as
well.
Yes, yeah, yeah, absolutely. And coaches, if you're a good coach,
you nullify that.
You should be able to do that. Like you
or
can,
at least be prepared
for
it.
You can still have your system, but then be able to tweak it and adapt it in order to exploit the weaknesses.
Yeah, and if you make and if players make individual mistakes, like ours do and have been, unfortunately, most of the season, you still need to be able to have a lever and, you know, change gears and try something different. I completely agree with you, Sean, when you say that we just don't have that. We just don't have it.
No.
It seems like try everything you can until the 80th minute, and then I might bring a couple of young boys on to see if they can
try something.
Too bad the game's gone.
And that argument of we've been champions the last two seasons, that's not good enough. That was then. What about now? Things have changed. We've moved on. Another thing that came through that little discussion thread through the post that I kicked off was we don't look to play. And I saw your frustration when you slumping back in your chair on Saturday night, you're getting the shits. It's just so bloody lateral. It's just left and right, back and forth, over and over and over again. It's like it was flogging a dead horse here. Other than Canceres and the like, you know, no one's looking to play forward. No one's looking to make penetrative passes through defense.
Yeah, play
with some width, of course, and drag defenders out of position and then look to exploit those spaces in between.
YBJ did that.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
And then on Tuesday night, he gets dragged off.
It's interesting to watch the body language of Bimby. I think it was 3-2 at the time, and Bimby was actually leaning up against a concrete pylon.
He'd been doing that since the first
game. Just clearly bitterly frustrated with what was happening, but I don't know. I just didn't see anything to suggest that
he get a yellow, or was that Melbourne?
Could have been the game before.
Yeah,
yeah. Sure.
But he was leaning up against that concrete post since the first goal.
A while. Yeah.
Like 10 minutes in.
I had to have a giggle on when I saw Bimby just chilling out and leaning up against the wall rather than being like right, almost storming out of the technical area trying to fire up his team.
That's never been Steve Curry.
Yeah, because I was listening to, you know, James Dodd and Adam Peacock during the week and leading up to this derby, and Dodd was like, you know, I spoke to, you know, Corica during the week, and if there's anybody in that club who's going to rev up the team and get them firing, getting knowing what this derby is all about, it's going to be Steve. And I'm just thinking, really? Are we talking about the same Steve Corica here?
James, I'll be the first one to say, I don't think it's time for Stevie to no longer have control of the first team. I think he's got enough credit in the bank. And I think that's the club's position will be. Two championships, first one to ever do it. Still a chance that we'll get a three-peat. There's still a chance
we'll get a
double.
And I hope so, and I want them to. And that's why I get the shits, Jonathan, because I give a shit about this club.
And I get that. But it would be an absolute... It would be crazy. People would call Sydney FC absolute ludicrous.
Well, they did it to Tuchel, whatever, PSG. They were coming second at the time. Mm.
Yeah. James, I think you might have had a counter-argument, someone that sent you a bit of a private message in response to Sean's comment.
So this is from Davina from North Sydney.
Okay.
And Davina said, look, I've heard Sean bring all this up before, but on what basis? It's usually about substitutions or not changing the system or just following Arnie. For fuck's sake, whatever it is, it's still working. We're double winners. We can still win the double this year, and we're second after the game the other day. Individual mistakes over the past 4 weeks have cost us from... Cost the team.
Yes.
From experienced and less experienced players, not the coaching.
Ooh.
Last night the scum got lucky, but so did we against them back in the day on some occasions. This I thought was an interesting point, and I thought warrants a bit of discussion. Great clubs and dynasties, Man United, Liverpool FC, Milan, etc., are built on success and teamwork and family and having a structure that will continue for years ahead. As soon as you break that, you get Melbourne victory.
Ooh.
That's that scathing. Was sent to us by, like I said, Davina from North Sydney.
Davina. Thanks, Davina.
Can I jump in?
well, let's just go through that a bit. So I particularly like the closing statement there, right? And Davina's 100% right. I'm not sure if... Do we know if Davina's male or female?
Davina's
non-binary.
Yeah. Cisgender? Is that...
I don't know. I don't understand how it all works.
Neither do I.
I'm all for it, but I don't get it.
Yeah, similar. really good points brought up there. Again, Steve Corriker is part of the fabric of this club. And he's going to be backed, in my opinion, like he should be, for a time to come. Unless he loses the next six games on the trot, nothing's going to change, right?
Even then?
I
can't see Danny doing it.
I don't know. If we lost, like it's not going to happen. If we lost six in a row.
Like shooting Bambi.
Yeah.
Or shooting Bimbi.
Yeah.
That's what I thought of immediately.
Good like one, that. Sean. Yeah, that was really good.
Too far away.
Okay.
There was a fist bump that was just rejected for those E-playing.
I think if we, as long as we finish in the finals, which we will, there will be absolutely no discussion. And I think it would be nuts if we did do that. So good feedback from Davina.
Graham Arnold's first season.
Yeah.
I can't.
Second.
There's any rebuttal?
Well, what in particular would you like to?
Well, was it Davina?
Yes, Davina.
Said that. It's, you know, we've got two championships, blah, 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 second before last Saturday. I said it's still working. No, it isn't. Like, not really.
Not as well as it has.
No.
Hang on. If you're third, we're currently third, but after the game we were second.
Before the game we were second.
No, and after the game.
Yep.
It's only after the round has finished that we are now third.
Yeah, okay, yep.
If we're third, second, after that game,
still working?
It's still kind of working.
I've been playing.
Hang on. Okay.
I think visually, it's not working.
Can I ask a question? I just want to try and draw in a metaphor.
For those who know their football, who genuinely know their football, it's not really working.
No. I get that because you kind of look at it and it's like we're scraping through skin of our teeth. You're a Liverpool fan. And I want to use this as an analogy, right?
Yeah, right.
You're a Liverpool fan. Yeah. Liverpool are currently seventh? Eighth?
That's right.
Seventh?
Yeah.
Do you want Klopp gone?
What I said in that post, Corica out, was a bit harsh. Yeah, all right, fuck you. But I'm not necessarily saying Steve should leave. I'm saying Steve
should
needs
change.
To change.
Okay.
He needs to admit that.
Because you have said Corica out more than once on this podcast.
Mm.
I wouldn't necessarily cry if he did go. But
no. I get that.
And I think there are other coaches in the comp that are better than him. And I just think sometimes he's a bit out of his depth, mm-hmm. that he hasn't got the wealth of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And those experiences are positive and negative ones where he can draw upon them and go, okay, when I was coaching this team or at this club or in this part of the world, this was
working.
Or
this experience or this
situation.
And I can
draw from it. And so now, you know, he's been in the Sydney SC bubble since forever. Mm. You know, he had stints overseas, Japan, etc. But so he's only really known success. He's only really experienced success as the head coach. So now that he's
challenged
and there's some, you know, tricky moments in front of him, it's like, what do I do? Or maybe it's arrogance, maybe it's ignorance, maybe it's a bit of stupidity, but it's like he feels like any second now will click. Any second now that switch will be flicked.
Just to clarify, you don't want Jurgen Klopp gone?
No.
Okay, cool.
But he would lose. To change too, and he needs to get better recruitment and tell some players to on their bike. Even Firmino, I love him, and he's been great for the club, but he maybe should move on.
No one cares.
Yeah. Neither do I about Liverpool at the moment.
But a very good synopsis there, James. I really enjoyed that.
It just came to me.
Are we almost done on the derby?
Yeah, almost.
Before we close, I just wanted to bring something up, and I can't remember if this was an original idea or if it was something I stole. I would hope that after our record against the Scum for the last couple of years, that the first phone call, not only our record, but the performance, right? I would hope the first phone call that Steve Corriker makes on Sunday morning is to Alex Brosk. And it's Broski.
Come in.
I want you in the dressing room before the next derby at the SCG. And I want you to tell the team.
To me. I like that.
What this game means. And I want you to fire them up.
Because even the last derby, he was on Fox.
He was.
And he was, they were ribbing him about his family that are Wanderers supporters, and he was like, they're dead to me. They mean nothing to me today. Right? And it's just, you're right, that's probably, get that person in there. He can be the team sports psychologist. The one thing I will give Sean, to his credit, that he's just said about Bimby as well, he's great at creating a team.
Mm.
He's great at creating an atmosphere around the dressing room. It's obvious that everybody gets along with It's obvious that everybody gives a crap about each other, and they hang out in their spare time afterwards, and they do social things together. I think Ryan McGowan's daughter just turned one, and a bunch of them showed up to that and that type of thing. We've created that, to Davina's point, family dynasty part of the club. I think the adaptability bit is a frustration that I definitely share and would like to see a little bit – things done a little bit differently around there.
We will close out with our SFCU votes for the game.
Yeah,
I didn't feel like doing them, but I did. And it was the three players that we spoke about before.
Ninko 6.
I gave Ninko 3,
yep.
Mr. Caceres 2, and Alex Wilkinson 1.
Yeah, that because would be mine.
I think they were the only three that really looked like they gave a shit.
No, Joel King, I don't.
And Joel King, fair.
Although, hang on, are we doing a socials thing? I haven't read the run sheet.
Yes, we are.
Okay,
yes, we
cool.
are.
We'll talk about that later. I'm joking, Sean. I just wanted to lighten you up a bit. No,
yeah, so Ninko Caceres for his incredible impact off the bench, and Alex Wilkinson, not for the goal, just for his trying to literally drag us into doing something.
The one thing I will say that changed after the first two goals, unfortunately it took two goals to change, Wilco started sitting back a little bit deeper, as did McGowan. Mm-hmm. And created a bit more of a great wall. You could see, and I'm not sure if this was an instruction or they took upon themselves, but McGowan and Wilco would be literally all over the back of whatever Wanderers player was in front of them. If you go back and watch the game, you see it. They were literally on top of them.
But then they would just go around those players.
Sure, but when there was a ball floated yeah. in, right? As yeah, opposed yeah. to letting them control it, they were really pressuring them. I mirror your votes. I cannot argue with it whatsoever.
Thank you. Sean, SFCU votes?
4 for Caceres.
Wow. Nice. Okay.
And 1 nice. For Ninko and 1 for Trent.
Trent. You love Trent.
Trent and Caceres did more in their stint than a lot of the entire team.
You love Trent.
I love Trent.
We all love Trent. You know what Trent loves?
Scoring goals.
Let's move on. Let's get back into podcast familiarity. And let's go around the grounds, Sean.
Calm down.
Let's go around the grounds. What was the best of social media?
Oh, look, there's good segment. The other thing last week was there's a little bit of Twitter confusion in the Twitter sphere about how many games we have left. So there's a little bit of like perplexity between how many games left and match weeks. So we have 4 games left, everybody. A Wednesday, Sunday, Saturday, and then a to be confirmed with Brisbane Roar in the very final game. Jamie, our last game, last two
how
games
many do we have,
away.
Sean?
4.
We have 6 games left, my friend.
What? Or is it 4 match weeks?
Correct.
And then 6
yeah,
games.
Danny Townsend did a little Twitter Q&A on this.
I was doing that just to test you. I
couldn't understand the hysteria, actually. It's always been 26 games. It's
just the makeup of how many teams you play, how many times has changed over the years with more entrants.
And this is another interesting for us to have a quick little chat about. Tom Foster via Twitter asks, is there a podcast topic to be had on the Cove chants that are past their use-by date?
Ooh.
And that might have come out of Tuesday's game against Melbourne Victory, and it was a very frustrating game.
It might have been in relation to Archie Thompson and the way he treats other members of his family.
Oh, well, that's up there with Rebecca Wilkinson drinks and she drives. I don't have much of an issue.
Yeah,
with that
one was topical at the time.
Hang on, so I don't pay much attention to Archie Thompson. I try not to. I don't find him a particularly inspiring character.
I don't really want to point it out on a podcast. I don't want to get sued.
Is the allegation in the song something that's been legally proven?
I don't know.
You don't know. You do know? Give me...
Don't know.
Okay. And you don't know or you don't won't say?
Let's just talk about the content of the chant and Tom's question.
Okay, so my point is with the Archie Thompson song, if it's been legally proven, I have no problem singing it.
Yeah, fair call.
Because if you're a scumbag that does that, you deserve for the world to be reminded what type of despicable human you are, and you have no place in Australian television.
True.
So that's my take on it. But if it's not true, we should retire it.
That's very diplomatic of you. So Tom, I think there are certain chants that are past their use by date. I also think the Cove has been exceptional in moving a lot of the chants on and no longer using some which were previously my favourite ones. I'm a little bit of a fence sitter on this one. I certainly participated in some of them back in the day when I was more Cove bound. And I must admit I had a bit of a giggle about the one that they pulled out on Tuesday night. Whether it's appropriate or not, yeah, it's probably not. But at the same time, I really think that we are a little bit too family friendly sometimes, especially towards our two biggest rivals.
What was the one that they pulled out Tuesday?
It was about Archie beating his wife or something.
Yep. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, saying that to domestic violence.
Right.
Australia says no. And the other little bit of funny banter, Germans do have a sense of humour.
Oh, God.
ABJ, nice little cheeky tweet.
The day after the derby.
Yeah, day after about in the club championship on Twitter. Good on you, ABJ.
Johnny, wasn't it brilliant?
You loved it.
It was freaking great.
No win last night, but it was amazing to be back at Bankwest Stadium. All memories of being the first
A-League champions
ever in the beautiful stadium came up.
First A-League champions to all those, I don't know what to say about those people that said Arpia Leichhardt were the first champions, which is probably true, but I don't know why you're picking on Alex. English is his second language, so I'm not sure why you would, you know, pick on his wording of clearly, obviously referring to the A-League.
Yeah. And the fact that that's we did racist. Something and he didn't, well, they didn't, rather. Correct. The one stat I do feel a little bit sorry for with ABJ is that he has never won a derby.
He has not.
He lost them when he was with them. He came to us and he's just lost them. And the last thing, I guess, on socials, which has just come out overnight, is Callum Neuenhoff is out for the rest of the season with a fractured vertebrae.
Yeah.
So this has been a contentious or a continuous, rather, topic on the pod for
the back
2 months now.
Yeah.
Play Callum Neuenhoff in the middle. Why don't you, Pat? Why isn't he at least on the bench? What is so wrong with him?
Why does a 19-year-old have a back problem?
So he turned around at me at Leichhardt Oval when I yelled out to him. It looked fine. But, Johnny, you had a little sneaking suspicion about why he wasn't being played, and that's been blown out of the water now.
Or has it? No, it has. You're right, 100% right.
Did you suspect a vertebrae fracture?
No.
Right?
C5? That's huge.
Yeah,
that's huge.
It
could just be stress growing.
Being serious, it's not great news for young Callum. And
he's basically said he hopes he's back for the ACL.
For the Champions League. That makes it very difficult for us.
For Paolo to
see much change coming up,
damn
right?
Damn it.
It's Caceres rotated in the middle.
Please.
I would...
Which one happened?
Yeah. Which one? It has to happen. It has to happen. Paolo's had his chance, right? Since Branner's left, Paolo's had his chance. He's done an admirable job 70% of the time. 30%, he's horrible. And...
sport's a funny thing, right?
We just need something different in the centre of the park next to Luke Bratton. Whether it's Anthony Caceres...
I don't think Caceres is the answer.
Because I think we can cover the wider positions, whether with Alex, whether with Trent, whether with Costa once Alfie comes in.
God, I can't wait to see that formation.
Anthony Caceres needs to start every game that Sydney FC play for the rest of his contract and beyond.
and beyond.
Right.
When does that end?
Unfortunately, I think we need to re-sign him.
Unfortunately?
As in, like, he's not signed up already, I think. Anthony Caceres needs to play every single game. And I've said this many times on this podcast. Paolo, like I said, has done an admirable job since Brand has left. But unfortunately, we need something else.
He hasn't done enough to solidify and justify his position. Mm. Absolutely.
If we had, could have,
and he's too similar to Braddon.
Way too similar.
If we could have a three-person team, I would have 9 Anthony Caceres, 1 Alex Wilkinson, and a Danny Vukovic.
Mm. What about Ninko?
Caceres is Ninko.
And why on Saturday when, okay, we wanted to put on an extra striker with Paddy, would you drag Braddon off the field and not Retro? it might not have been his best game, Braddon. Anyway, all right, moving on. A bit of club business, just quickly discuss. One of our beloved Sky Blue past players in scoring, Gamero, has found himself a new home with Apia Leichhardt, who started to hit a little bit form of late after a very slow season start to the season in the NPL NSW.
I think our NPL team helped them with that.
Yeah. And so he's off to Apia. He's had some A-League stints with the likes of Wellington, Us, City, Raw and Central Coast. Been a little bit around Scory.
Fantastic.
He was over at St. George City, was it last season in the NPL 2 competition? So it's great to see somebody of his calibre at a very good club, Apia, back in the NPL 1 system. So all the best to you, Corey.
Yeah, great to see.
Fingers crossed there's no injuries as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of players, if you've been living under a rock in the last few days or so, Paddy Flottman is now in Brisbane on a very...
very, very,
very, very
short and unique
very
deal.
Short, not even including finals, and he's back, and he'll be back before then. A handful of games or whatever it ends up might being, but yeah, that's very interesting.
So he will remain a Raw player for this week, and then he will return to the club. It's very short, Steve. He got on the park last game for Brisbane.
I was about to say, he did
get on the park, so obviously they're short a few. They're short a few central defenders. Do you know what? I like to see this. I don't mind it. We don't have a proper loan system. So we've literally had to release Patrick Flottman from his contract and we're just going to re-sign him. Like, I like that that's a thing.
Oh, that makes me nervous.
No, I'm sure it's fine. But Paddy's been bossing the NPL. It's very clear that Patrick Flottman is too good for the NPL. He's even been scoring goals, for God's sake.
He's a centre-back, right?
He is, yeah.
Which would be great to rotate.
Yeah.
Rest Wilkinson. Ryan McGowan's good, but he's not a spring chicken.
Floddy's issue is that Ben Wallen's ahead of him in the pecking order as well.
Who is better?
This stage Wallen, of their career, yeah. Wallen, I would dare say, would be ahead of him.
Why don't we rotate our centre-backs?
I don't know, James.
If anybody's
Paul
listening,
Steve,
if anybody's
post something
listening,
on Sydney SA.
If anybody's listening that maybe would have an idea, write to us at Jonathan's phone number.
Sure. Sure. I was going to say it's not like we haven't been conceding a lot of goals, but I think we actually had conceded the least amount until probably the weekend. So
yeah, and look, the thing is we're not taking our chances.
That's the problem. That's the problem.
So, okay.
Which hopefully will be fixed by a plucky Englishman that will be joining the squad.
So, Floddy off to Brisbane Roar.
Yes, for a couple of games.
How did he play?
Correct. He only got 6 or 7 minutes, I think. Okay. But, yeah.
It was a good 6 minutes.
I'm sure it was.
We all love that.
Wouldn't mind a good 6 minutes.
And a little bit of news in the women's footballing Sky Blue sphere. There is a Matilda's Talent ID training camp, which is their ahead of the Tokyo Olympics in a few months' time in June. Rachel Lowe, who's now playing at Sydney Uni, Remy, Claire Wheeler and Yara are off there at the Matilda's Talent ID camp to potentially possibly get picked in the squad. I was a little congratulations, girls, but I was also a little bit surprised to not see Princess amongst them. I thought she pretty much had her best season in Sky Blue to date recently. So, but look, all four of those girls had a stellar season. Probably Claire Wheeler out of that four. So something that's lacking in the Matildas at the moment, midfielders. So, and, you know, the likes of Sam Kerr and Caitlin Fuller not getting the service. So who knows, Claire Wheeler might find herself in the frame there.
Absolutely.
With the Swedish
I think good
coach,
Gustavsson,
whatever his name is.
Tony Gustafsson. Very much versatility will be in her favour, I think, as well on that one.
And the last bit being that Bobo has become the fastest player in A-League history to reach 50 goals.
Sure has. It's something we didn't mention earlier. Yeah,
which is, as Sean said, 8 goals in 13 appearances so far this
Pretty
season.
Good for a bloke who, 36. I know he's 36 and maybe, you know.
You're 36?
Yeah, I know.
How many goals have you scored this season?
How many have I stopped is more important.
Yes, because you are a right back.
Left back.
I play everywhere.
You are.
I actually gave up the captain's armband on Saturday because that's how nice a guy
actually,
I am.
Actually, with that bruise on your arm, you are Michael Zullo.
From the flu shot or?
No, I ran into a
I'd like a Michael Zullo injury update.
It's just his calf.
If you know anything about Michael Zullo's condition, can you write to Sky Blue Stories at Jonathan's phone number?
I think it's fallen off.
My phone's going to be going off the hook, man. God.
I really wish it would.
Calm down.
And then the other piece of news that we've not mentioned so far is Paolo Retre at the Derby or at Melbourne Victory.
Yeah, probably.
It was Melbourne Victory because we gave him the plaque then.
Oh, yeah.
Had played his 100th game for Sydney FC.
That's a lot of games.
And that's 70 good games.
You say, right?
You said
70%. That's a lot of good games.
Right? That's a lot of good games. Regardless of what we say about, you know, dissecting Paolo's performance, he's been a good servant of the club.
He certainly has. And in a salary capped league, he's a very good squad player that can
contribute,
be utilised in several positions.
Well, and that's the thing. That's the job up until this year, up until Brandon O'Neill left. Sorry. That's the job he did. He filled in. And he basically
he
started off like Caceres.
Yeah.
He filled in. Caceres has made that right wing-ish spot his own, you know, rotating in with ABJ. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't re-sign ABJ and Caceres just takes it on full-time.
And funnily enough, of those 100-odd appearances, gents, Paolo has started 70 of them.
Yes. 70.
I mean this completely respectfully, but are you fucking serious?
Yeah, that's a lot.
He started 70 games.
I wonder how many of them are from
SFC statistics.com is a little bit out of date. Rowdy? Come on, man.
Come on, man.
It's not what you were saying off air. A lot ruder.
A lot more vitriol.
It was
venomous.
It was it was total appearances, not A-League appearances. So, yeah, sorry. Anyway, let's move on.
Anyway, Rowdy, thanks for that, mate.
Thanks, Rowdy. We love you.
Sorry about Jonathan.
Yeah, sorry about me. Text my phone if you like. That's right, everyone. It's Danny Townsend's favourite segment. Trip down Middleby Lane.
Sorry, what?
It's Danny's favourite segment.
Is it?
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Just made it up.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we do this joke every week.
I haven't been listening.
Yeah. Or present. So this week in Sky Blue history is what we do when we talk about a trip down Middleby Lane. Yes. So 16 years ago, Sydney FC launched... the club launched officially with a major sponsor in Healthy Care. If, you know, again, as Sean said earlier, living under a rock, you would know that our sponsor in that first season, championship winning season, was Healthy Care, who were a major private healthcare provider. And they also announced at that announcement that Mark Rudan and David Zrilic would be captains of the squad. We also had our first ever competitive game this week, 16 years ago, gents, against the then called Queensland Roar, not Brisbane Roar, if you remember correctly, in an Oceania Club Champions League qualifier. Andrew Packer scoring Sydney FC's first ever competitive goal in a 3-0 win, and current Brisbane Roar manager Warren Moon was actually on the bench for Queensland that night, which I thought was quite interesting.
There you go. They've gone full circle.
Fun fact. 6 years ago, Sydney FC 4, Adelaide United 1, in the 2015 semi-final at Allianz Stadium in front of about 27,000 home fans. Alex Brosk was with an absolutely masterful back heel after a nice cross from a bloke that we won't mention anymore.
That's probably one of my all-time favourite goals.
I think so too.
Not just Broski goals, but all-time favourite goals.
Yeah.
Down the other end, away from the cove, yeah.
Absolutely. Beautiful back heel. The initial pass played by the maestro, Miloš Ninković, out wide. And the biggest milestone in a trip down Middleby Lane this week, it's been 4 years ago since this.
Yoni Bose to chest it down. Can they find the angle? Victory desperate. David Carney!
That's right, 4 years since the A-League Grand Final where Sydney FC became champions for the third time and Ryan Grant scoring his first of now two Grand Final goals and Miloš Ninković obviously finishing things off in the penalty shootout. A momentous night. James, what were your memories of that game?
None.
Why? Why? You weren't there with Sean and I in the corner watching the game. Soaking up the 40,000 people atmosphere.
I was there.
Dreams have come true in Scope. No? You weren't there?
To the left of the cove we were.
Mm. Was that the Malaysia game?
That's right. You were in Malaysia.
KL?
Forgotten.
Good old KL.
I forgot. Sorry. Yeah. It was a great night.
I hate this podcast.
It's a great night.
And my friends. I hate my friends.
Happy birthday to some previous Sydney FC players. In Andrew Durante, turns 39, still playing for Western United. Fabio Ferreira, currently at Sydney Olympic, Sean, 32 years old. Bruno Cazarine, Bruno, 38. Nikola Kolesky, another Sydney Olympic player, 25, still very young. Pej, big Pej Boich, 37. Sean, one of your favourites, Alex Gersbach.
I love Alex.
24 years old, currently at AGF Aarhus.
I do like Alex.
Denmark. And last but not least, former W League star and American import, Danny Colaprico, turns 28. Let's talk about some NPL that occurred in the last week. Sydney FC took on the Wollongong Wolves.
Are you sure,
at
Jonathan?
Elindon.
It was an RPL.
I'm sure it was.
Was
Sean,
how many times did you get that wrong in the run sheet?
I think it was only five.
Tried to throw me off the scent.
Don't worry, Sean. I don't read the run sheet. No.
We know.
I think he was testing me.
Well established.
I think he was testing me.
What's
to
a run
me.
Sheet?
Yeah. Wollongong Wolves, entertaining 5-3 loss. A loss nonetheless. We're last.
I know.
Somehow.
It feels it wasn't that long ago. We were kind of top four, and we had a.
It's because we were.
We had a few wins, a couple of losses, a draw, a little bit of a mixed bag, but more wins than anything. And then, little by little, it's just.
I think we're a much better team than last, Sean.
Absolutely, I know this is. I know I've got sky blue glasses but last is not indicative of how good the team is or how we're playing. I dare say, getting the violin out. I dare say our squad sees more rotation and changes in it because the NPL boys have a tier above them that they feed into, obviously, the A-League team, whereas the other NPL teams, that's it for them. That's the end of the road for them, so to speak. So not that there's an excuse, and I know Jimmy Van Weeren wouldn't use that as an excuse either, but It's a longish season, the NPL season. So
10 games in now, is that right?
Something like that, yeah. 12-team comp, play everybody. 12-team comp, play 22. Yeah, so nearing the halfway mark. Look, entertaining. Yeah, 5-3 loss. Paddy Wood,
Patrick
with a brace. Two lovely goals. The first one was a beautiful counter-attack involving, who to involve? Swivel. Paddy Azbeck, and then a beautiful cutting crossover for Paddy Wood to finish. And I thought his second goal was almost as sublime.
Yeah, second goal was, I think it was 4-1. Wollongong had just got their fourth, and basically Sydney FC scored from kickoff.
Basically, yeah.
Down the right. And
but that instinctive striker's finish.
He's a finisher.
Yeah.
He's just a finisher. And the first goal, if you do get a chance, go onto YouTube and watch the highlights. Just type in NPL New South Wales, Sydney FC versus Wollongong Wolves. It should come up. The first goal that Pat Wood scores, and it's actually the first goal of the game, I think, Sean.
Yep, yeah, we went at 1-0.
Not only was it a great sweeping team movement, but the intelligence of Pat to
play
he strays offside for a split second and then can see what's unfolding on his right, stops and takes a step back to remain onside and just finishes straight past the keeper.
I hope Bimby's just aware instinctual. Of that. And the kid deserves more time on the field than what he's getting.
He does.
He's
it's going to be harder now with Lafondre in the squad, though.
Well, yeah, sad.
It's going to be harder. So 5-3 loss.
5-3 loss. Look, the goals that we conceded, especially a few of them, were just not clearing our lines and not getting that second ball.
It's two off corners.
Yeah, two off the set piece there. So
one off a cross. So three headers we conceded.
Yeah. It's frustrating. So there's something to tidy up there that Jimmy Van Wirral will look after in the coming days and weeks. But look, yeah, it's tough for them at the moment. It's not going to get any easier because they've got Rockdale, who I think
Premier's elect
last year, and they're sitting second, and they've been in a bit of trouble lately in the news. If you haven't seen there,
they're playing
Rockdale. It doesn't matter whether it's home or away because we're playing out of the same place there at Rockdale in the sports park down there. Like I said, I think Rockdale's sitting second at the moment. So another tough gig.
Couple of ex-Sky Blue Academy players in the Rockdale side as well, Sean. Alec Urosevsky will be there. And there's a couple of others. I've lost them for a second, but yeah.
So look, if we can snag a draw and just build a bit of confidence, grab that one point and look to move forward, happy days. Happy days. So good luck to the fellas. Sunday night, 9th of May, kick off at 3 o'clock. So, you know, we're playing away. If you can't make the Newcastle game, which we'll talk about shortly, can't make the Newcastle game on Saturday night, go down to Rockdale. Leave your picnic chairs and flags and machetes and flares at home, you know. Yeah,
a good idea.
Yeah.
Probably a good idea.
Leave only with memories.
Let's we did quite a comprehensive dissection of the derby earlier. So let's quickly touch on the Melbourne Victory game that also happened in the last week, guys, on the back of our Brandon O'Neill podcast.
Sorry, that was just me.
What the?
I'm angry.
Brandon O'Neill podcast last week that we released for everyone's listening pleasure. It was a fairly cold night at Cogra on Tuesday.
Chilly. Yeah, and my legs were cold.
It was only, two full days between games, 3 days in total from the Central Coast Mariners game. So you'd be forgiven if the boys were a little bit lackluster. Milos Ninkovic starting on the bench for that game.
I didn't mind that rotation. I'd like
time,
to see more
bastard.
Of it. And yeah, poor bastard's been bloody almost carrying the team. But yeah, that was all right for Bimby. I'll give him that. Just that.
Shocking game.
It was the most
shocking game.
Boring. What's another word? I need a synonym.
Lackluster. Depressing.
Depressing, yeah. Disenchanting game. I wasn't expecting, like, you know, the 7-0 that City put on them the other week and the four goals that Wanderers put on them, albeit losing the week, you know, the game before. But I wasn't expecting floodgates. I wasn't expecting a cricket score, you know. But I was expecting more than 1-0.
Wasn't great.
And then Bobo scored early on. Great header from the corner and all
that.
Yeah,
nice goal, yeah.
And again, I wasn't expecting floodgates and, you know.
That was a great ball by Bratton, actually,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Goals piling on. But after that moment, I was just like watching paint dry.
Was worse than that, I think.
And Victory, to their credit, with all the drums and shit that they've had going on of late and this season, actually played all right. We made them look good.
Their goalkeeper, as Arto, thank you, Arto, for pointing it out, something we've mentioned on this pod before, their goalkeeper turned into just, you know, impenetrable force.
A Jamie Young, a Gauchy, you know.
Eugene Galekovic used to do to us all the time, Liam Reddy.
Liam Reddy, yeah, that's another one.
So Matt Acton made 9 saves on the night.
I think got man of the match or player of the week.
Yeah, yeah. He was quite incredible. There were a few chances I remember, Sean, particularly Costa's half volley that he absolutely powered to the centre of the goal and Acton got a finger on it, went over the bar. I don't know. Was it a tired performance? Is that what it was after the
was effort? It a complacent performance?
The effort that we had to put in to come back in that Mariners game? I don't know.
Well, if that was the case, maybe a smarter coach would have gone, all right, I'll make some rotation. I'll put some youth on. They were playing youth. Why not, you know, because they had to because of suspensions and injuries and the like. And play a bit of youth and, you know, just inject a bit of oomph and maybe allow the young, older fellas, so to speak, come on later in the game. That game was poised to see, you know, a Trent or a Paddy Wood.
Nice entertaining game.
Yeah.
Midweek.
Game was open. And I was sitting next to, you know, Miss Jersey obsessed extraordinaire Mariam Chakir. And something we couldn't agree more on was like, why the hell did AC and ABJ get pulled during the second half when they're two of the most creative players on the field and they could have looked to create something and make something happen when we're just cruising along?
It's like we go for creativity doesn't work, so here's some brute force. Pat Wood, Trent Bahaja, Luka Vanovic.
No,
right? You know, trying to be clever and tricks and passing through lines and trying to cut them open and work them wide and, you know, juggle over here hasn't worked. So screw it. Let's put five forwards on and absolutely ram
in the 85th minute.
Yeah, so absolutely ram them.
I like that creativity and that bit of flair and stuff. Like, do it in your attacking third. And if you lose the ball, so what? The other opposition still has to go 80-odd metres to try and score a goal.
I'm not saying I agree with the approach. I'm just pointing out
what we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was there's not much else to say about this game, I think.
Boring, move on.
It was it was probably the worst win we've ever had. We won. It was 3 points, which was sorely needed. Gents, just on the 3 points, we play Newcastle Jets this weekend.
Yeah.
If we do not win that game.
Rut roll.
We could be out of the finals.
Top six.
Just saying.
Sorry, I breathed into the microphone.
Just saying.
And
we may well be third, but we are 3 points ahead of the Wanderers now.
Oh, come on!
And that goes back to Davina from North Right. Like, so what? We're sitting second or third.
Sydney.
We're so tight.
North Sydney.
With the bottom six and the teams pressing to try and push into it in seventh and eighth, etc.
And Western United have two games on us. They're 3 points
how
behind.
How many? It's Brisbane Roar caught up. Do they still have another game?
Only 4 points behind us.
How many games in hand? How many games? Three games in hand.
Oh, my God.
See, that's how important the win was. So sitting second or third, whatever you want to, what hour of the night you want to talk about on Saturday and Sunday means sweet FA because we haven't been playing particularly well and it's such a tight competition. The only team that can say, yeah, we'll be there in the finals.
Melbourne City.
Bingo. Yep,
correct.
And maybe the Mariners.
It is delicately poised. We're on the run home, gents. More than half the comp has played 20 games, meaning they've got 6 games left. So May and June, it's all over after that. There's not many games to go. Let's talk about Newcastle Jets quickly. We have a fairly outstanding record against them. They did get us in the COVID-resumed league late last season when Messrs. Robinson and, I was going to say Dalgleish.
The Welsh.
Kenny.
Oh, Kenny.
What's his name? Miller.
Kilkenny.
Kenny Miller. were there. They did surprise us there. I think the Petratos brothers came out and surprised us. Apart from that, our record against Newcastle is exceptional. I think better than any other team in the league. So, what are we expecting? Are we expecting any?
What I want to watch.
No, no. What are we expecting to see? Will there be any change?
I don't think there'll be.
Change.
I probably expect to see the squad fired up a bit more. I think they'll be looking to make a point and respond. My problem is the response has lost a game. Right? You look at the way Sydney FC have played this year. We are terrible for a game or two, which we were. Melbourne Victory, Western Sydney Wanderers, lackluster performance. They'll go, this isn't good enough. We're better than this. Fire each other up. we'll put in a really good dominant performance and we'll sit back until the finals again. Mm. I don't know what that is. I don't want to say it's mentality because I'm not a professional sportsman. I can't speak to their mentality and how they manage that. But it's just not fiery enough for me. Mm. I'd rather get two reds in a game knowing that my team cared.
I think they care.
But showing it. I'm not trying to say that Corica and our team don't care because they obviously do. You can see, you know, they hang their heads after that goal at the Wanderers. You can see them get upset. You can see them, you know, sniping at each other on the pitch saying, do better or do this or do that. I'm not saying they don't care, but I want to see that. I want to feel that they care, which I think is our criticism of Corica. Sitting on the concrete wall.
Leaning back on it, yeah.
We know he cares. We know he gives a damn about the club.
Show it.
That's
fucking
my
fire up.
That's my point.
You know.
Win 6-0.
No.
No? Is that what you mean?
One all draw.
Okay.
Is my score.
But two reds and you'll be.
Oh, yeah.
But I just think they're playing to a script too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
We are.
Yeah. And well, any kind of real creativity kind of gets sucked out of it. Anyway.
Ninko's rested. I put
yeah,
it down.
Ninko will start. I think Anthony will probably start. I hope so. Did you say Braddon's got 5 yellows now?
Yes, no. Braddon will not be playing.
It's a Caceres retro midfield.
Yep.
Well, I will say that those two have had paired up during the ACL, so they're not unfamiliar with each other.
And they weren't that bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're different midfielders in that retro will naturally hold, and then that means Caceres can push forward.
Which actually
a little.
Retre plays better.
Mm.
Because I feel like with Bratton there, he's got to be the creative outlet.
Well, I think
or to try and drive it forward.
Well, I think with Retre sitting kind of deep and holding, it's a simpler game plan for him. Mm. There's less bells and whistles.
It plays more to his strengths of being a wall.
Yeah.
He can do a good tackle.
I don't have to. He does. It's not overloading him with responsibility. I've got a couple of jobs with my attack and defence here in this holding position. And let the other team players, you know, flare it up a bit. So,
you could see with Bratton out, I think you'll see young Patrick Gazbeck on the bench again.
Mm-hmm. Bench,
but hopefully it's a chance for him to get a bit of game time.
Costa and Bo. I'd like to see Paddy Wood have a run or something. Or
it'd be good. I mean,
Trent.
Unfortunately, I think Nigel Bogard might be injured, so that's one of their 47-year-old defenders out. But Topol Stanley will still be there.
Oh, I hate him.
Number 45, was it?
44.
You know, you took that photo.
He wears his age on his back.
You did that tweet.
Yeah, thanks.
You were funny.
I was funny.
Yeah, you are funny.
I
hate
him.
Present tense.
I hate Topol Stanley so much. He's just a nothing player.
Watch him score against us.
Oh, look, he probably will, but he just...
Anyway, Newcastle are dead last. They're behind Melbourne Victory, who are the worst team in A-League history. If we don't win and win comfortably, I'll be very upset.
We won't. I reckon 1-1 draw. What's your score prediction?
3-0, Sydney. Oh,
God. Sean?
It probably should be. It's going to be one of those like Perth Glory games where we should be like winning 5 or 6-0. But we're just failing in front of goals, so I'm going to say 3-0 as well.
Oh, I'll take 3-0 any day of the week. That's all we've got time for.
I got one more thing.
Oh, but oh, sorry, yes.
Well, it's just popped up on my Facebook feed. It's off the run sheet.
Yes. This is always dangerous when we let James do this.
Yeah. All right, now go for it, James.
Someone has put up their desired Sydney FC starting lineup.
Ooh.
On Facebook.
Ooh.
Is it Davina from North Row?
No. It's Bobo and Bahaja.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Caceres and Costa. Caceres left, Costa right.
Yeah.
Costa's a left.
Yeah, that's okay. That's okay.
Bratton and Ninko in the middle. Have you just seen it too?
Have, yeah. It's right? Sponsored by the Star.
Well, no, it's not. It's just somebody using markup on their iPhone over a Sydney FC background. Bratton and Ninko in the middle. Yeah, because Ninko's a great holding midfielder. King, Wilco, McGowan, Grant, to which someone has responded with, the Joel King experiment has failed. No, it hasn't. We don't have another left back.
That's true.
And he's 19. He's just 20.
You see the top comment?
Yeah, Dean. Bless you, Dean. We love you.
Dean's the best.
There is no experiment with Joel King. There is nobody else left to pay left
back. I really don't. Yeah, look, it's not too different to what we're doing, I guess, but Ninko's not going to play in the centre because no.
It's not happening.
No, it's not going to happen. It'll be...
it's a waste of his talent.
No, it'll be Paolo and AC.
No, I think this was just my desired in general because it's got Bratton in there, right? But yes, I think that is all we have time for. I just wanted to give everybody a laugh. Holding midfielder, box to box, ball winning, Miloš Ninković, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks.